As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the rain is pouring down in Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Wednesday, September the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and maybe even workable solutions for you today, especially with our returning guest, independent researcher Daryl Everhart. We're going to continue our study and discussion of the missing gaps in the bloody history of Papal Rome. Hope you'll stick around for the full 2 hours. Lots of interesting material on the plate for today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and be a part of the broadcast. You can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access, or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 to join Daryl and myself on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's BVL, like Become Vocal Local, host@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. Big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM out of Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and of course, your calls are welcome. The currencies, precious metals, lots of news going on this morning. Talk about that in a moment. Of course, we're going to have our guest, independent researcher Daryl Everhart, coming back again as he does here on the Become Vocal Local on Wednesday mornings to help us continue our study and discussion of the missing gaps in the history of Papal Rome. And we will take your calls and get into much, much more indeed. Wednesday, active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading up $8.10 and going up in one of those waterfall patterns as the ETFs come into the market, no doubt. But gold was up $8.10 at $965.30 an ounce. Silver losing a penny off of yesterday's closing, now at 15.01, or $15.01 an ounce. Platinum losing $19 in morning trading at 1,206. Palladium losing $7, trading at $281. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, 953.10 for a low, 968 for a high, a $15 spread there looking rather interesting. At $965.30, gold is up year-to-year $159.10 for a 19.77% return on your investment. Not at all bad there. The London Gold Fix in London this morning, they set the AM Gold Fix at $955 an ounce, and you can see we're $10 above that now. Where it'll close, only others know. In the Dow, Dow closed yesterday down 186 points. They didn't like what they heard in regards to the unemployment figures and the other indicators, dropping 186 points, closing out at 9,311. The NASDAQ likewise dropped 40 points, trading at 1,969 when it closed. The S&P off 23,998. So that's that for that. We'll pick it all up on the other side with our very special guest, Daryl Everhart. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trying Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned right here on our Wednesday, September the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. As we're getting underway, we come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Be sure and log on and bookmark that site today if you haven't already. We're going to visit today once again with our very special guest, Daryl Everhart, but for the benefit of those out there listening on the micros and our affiliate stations, I have received emails from y'all, and I appreciate getting them, but there has been a basic call to repeat the numbers a little bit from our market reports for their benefit, because oftentimes I don't. So let's just go through it really quickly again. We find out of New York City, active trading New York City time, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was up $8.10, trading at $965.30. Silver was off a penny at $15.01. Platinum was trading off $19 at $12.06. And palladium was off $7 at $2.81. Now, the crude oil today is off 40 cents so far in early morning trading, down at 67.65, and the USDX, the dollar index, is off 6 basis points at 78.71. That rolls over and translates into changes in our little basket of currencies, the foreign exchange rates. This morning, losing 43 basis points, the Canadian dollar is trading at 90 cents. It hasn't been down there for a while. The same goes for the Mexican peso, losing 40 basis points again, solidly and firmly now in the 7 cent range. The euro, losing 8 basis points, trades at $1.42 U.S. The British pound moves up, the only one in our basket that moved up 31 basis points and now trading at $1.62 U.S. and the Swiss franc is firm at 94 cents U.S. Also, in the bond market, important to notice that the yield on the two-year bond is 0.90%. It's under 1% return, and the 10-year is at 3.35, the 30-year is at 4.17. And that's causing a little bit of flack and blowback out of Japan. Japan being the second largest bond holder to only to China of the U.S. Treasuries are not pleased with this low yield rate. And so we may see some kind of blowback in that regard. The 15-year mortgage this morning down at 4.70%. A month ago it was at 4.81. The 30-year mortgages are at down again this morning, 5.26%, and they were 5.33 a month ago. With all of that said, and like they say, the love of mammon is the root, and we want to be very careful about that. But nonetheless, these are indicators that we can use on a daily basis to kind of get a sense or a feeling, just like a doctor would put a stethoscope up or thump on your chest to get a feeling of the overall soundness of your body. And we can have to say that our economic body here is not doing at all well. For more information on that, stay tuned. I'll give a more lengthy report on Friday. But also, let me just say that there is a considerable effort happening around the United States to bring certain candidates forward for Congress. If you're not aware of that, you might look at retakecongress.org and other sites. But with all of that politics and money behind us, let's go back to our very special guest and welcome Daryl Eberhart once again to Become Vocal Local. Good morning, Daryl.
Hey, good morning, William. Good to be on with you again.
Well, it's always my pleasure, and I look forward to our Wednesday visits because we're diving into some research that I like to look back on. It's been a while since I've been in this area, and you're stimulating me to go back in and recover ground that I covered 5-6 years ago, always finding new material, things that I've missed, and I'm sure you found the same thing. You might study something this year or last year, come across it again with new perspective, see even more things in it that you might have missed the last time. But we have come to an interesting point in our study of the missing gaps and what we could consider the bloody history of Papal Rome. But there has been so much persecution on alternate ways of viewing the Christian message that it just kind of slides under the radar screen. But we're at a very interesting point now as we move out of the 1500s and into the 1600s. Much is happening, and we widen the hem of the garment, so to speak, embracing England and the North and South American continent. So maybe we could pick it up wherever you're comfortable there, and we'll just continue filling in these missing gaps.
Right, and I'd like to let the listeners know we're going to be starting at 1642 with the death of Cardinal Richelieu in a minute. But I don't want them to think that I only exclusively pick on Roman Catholicism. I would like to, most of my writing, it is true, in the last couple of years has dealt mainly with the Jesuit order and with the bloody history of Papal Rome. But I would like to also say here right now that other religions have persecuted. The Eastern Orthodox have persecuted Jews at times, as same as the Roman Catholicism has. The Eastern Orthodox Church in Russia, and that they've persecuted Mennonites. They've persecuted Baptists and others. The Stundists, so were Germans, Mennonite types that I think that had moved over into Russia. So other religions have persecuted, but I have to be honest with the listeners, there's a special preeminence that belongs to Papal Rome because they were the only ones that had a institutionalized organization of torture called the Inquisition that officially ran for 605 years, over 6 centuries there, of bloody murder. But also the area we're getting into right now, we had covered earlier, one of the earlier broadcasts, the slaughter of almost the entire population of southern France, the Albigensian Christians, which were just simple Bible-believing Christians, and we're going to be hitting that era where they go after the Waldensian Christians. And again, the reason we're covering this is that, maybe in the last 100 years or so, what little of this information that was in American history textbooks, that was in American encyclopedias, has pretty much all been removed under threat of Roman Catholic boycott. In other words, many areas, especially your large cities in the country, Boston, Chicago, New York, with heavy Roman Catholic populations, they basically told the encyclopedia publishers and the history textbook publishers, we don't like this, we don't like that, and if you want to sell your history textbook or your encyclopedias in this area or region, you're not going to do it unless you remove anything that's insulting to Papal Rome. The other thing I'd just like to let the listeners know is that most of my loved ones, 90% of my relatives, 90% of my friends are all Roman Catholic.
Seems like we've lost Daryl. Maybe not. Maybe he'll pick back up again. We're still in progress. We're still in progress. Well, I'm going to have to call him back. Everything is showing me that we're still doing fine. We've got an interesting storm over my head, but let me just drop him and add him back into this thing. Let's go back in here. Okay, go over here. And I'm going to jump over here. This is all. There we go. There you are, Daryl. I could hear you.
Okay.
All right. We dropped for a moment there.
Okay. I kept talking, so I don't know whether I stayed on or we both went off. But I was just making the point that
we
got a break coming.
Yeah, we came right up on the break, but good. Fortunately, we're still together. We'll be back right after this top of the hour or this break, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes. I'll get my head together.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big Don Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Thank you.
And we've returned once again with our guest, Daryl Everhart. And Daryl, unfortunately, was cut off. I don't understand why. Perhaps the lightning in the area here bumped him down. But anyway, we've got him back up again. And as we were going in, Daryl, you were just mentioning that this isn't like a one-point issue. Most certainly there are have been various forms of persecution for religious faith, for color, tongue, tribe, creed, throughout all of history. And on this broadcast, we've been trying to cover at least 6,500 years of history at a superficial level, at least to waken up the audience to the idea that there's a little bit more than just what's happening today. So much of history repeats itself, and if we're not aware of it, then we're really in trouble. But even the Church of England, the Anglican Church, if you will, has their hands bloodied up pretty strongly. Fox's Book of Martyr is testimony to that alone, if nothing else. We can find all kinds of persecutions here in the colonies, the early development of this country. And as we move further in today's study, we're going to see how that continues to go. North and South America, French, Spanish, English, the crown itself, the Vatican, the Jesuits, the Inquisition. It's a mess, folks. And unfortunately, through what we're seeing in the development of FEMA, the Department of Homeland Security, the new hate crime legislation that's pending and coming on us and at us, you know, these are all things that are just repeating phenomena. And every time somebody gets their little minute in the sun, they want to go around and repress everyone else. But let's do pick it up there, Daryl.
Yeah, that's why organized religion's one of the most dangerous things in the world.
Absolutely.
I think it was Daniel Defoe that said that of all the tyrannies of which mankind is cursed, I'm trying to remember this, folks, ecclesiastical tyranny is the worst.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I guess we cut out somewhere where I was saying that this, what we're dealing with mainly here is missing gaps in history that deal with Papal Rome's bloody history. But I also mentioned when I think we got cut out was that others have persecuted, as you just mentioned. And, of course, even the Lutherans and Catholics joined together in Germany to persecute the Anabaptists. And as you mentioned, in England, the Anglican Church persecuted horribly. They really went after the Scottish Covenanters. And the Eastern Orthodox Church has persecuted not only Jews, but also Baptists and Mennonites in areas like Russia. So it's been a widespread thing. It's been a common thing throughout history, this idea of the organized church not tolerating any dissent and quickly labeling everybody as heretics, Manichaeans, dualists, and any other name that they want to throw out in order to prevent any of their faithful from deserting the ranks and, of course, losing finances in the process. But, again, we're going to jump in here at 1642, and we have Cardinal Richelieu, which is not a household name in America, but Cardinal Richelieu was one of the most powerful men in Europe for many years, and he died in 1642. He was born in 1585, a Frenchman, and dear listeners who are French or Italian that are listening, forgive me for butchering names. I had 2 years of high school French, but I'm going to try. Armand Jean Duplessis, I believe, P-L-E-S-S-I-S. But anyway, Cardinal Richelieu, he served from 1624 to 1642 as the chief minister, in other words, secretary of state for foreign affairs for King Louis the 13th of France, and most writers that I've read, William, say he was the real power behind the throne. And I have an author here named Chester G. Hearn, and he said that Cardinal Richelieu ran a, and by the way, he wrote an interesting book about the history of intelligence community throughout history, but he says that Cardinal Richelieu ran a first-class spy network in France, Italy, Germany, and Austria, and that his spy network may have employed up to 10,000 agents. Now, remember, folks, this is back in the, early 1600s. He got started there, mid-1600s, and he passed that network on to others that followed behind him. But no doubt, much of the horrible bloodshed that we mentioned earlier about previous broadcast about that 30 years war, 1618 to 1648, that devastated much of Europe, can be laid directly at the feet of Richelieu's political and diplomatic machinations. And as a matter of fact, Cardinal Richelieu shares a fair portion of the responsibility for the horrible massacre of up to 150,000 Irish Protestants. The lowest figure I've ever seen is 100,000, but the 150,000 is probably closer, by Irish Roman Catholics from 1641 to 1649, since he, according to author John Daniel, had promised the, and he means the Roman Catholic Irish conspirators, a considerable supply of men and money. And we often find this, William, as we did with the Spanish Armada, where you have Pope Sixtus V promising 200,000 crowns to Spanish King Philip II as soon as the Spanish Armada gets launched. So we get this financing behind the scenes for wars and revolutions and invasions. You want to jump to the next one?
Absolutely.
1658, we got poor old, to some Catholics he's not poor old, but Oliver Cromwell, and I just found this out recently, was poisoned to death in 1658 by Dr. George Bate, a Jesuit temporal coadjutor. And Cromwell indeed had used a heavy hand in putting a stop to the Roman Catholic genocide that we just mentioned, 1641 to 1649, against Protestants in Ireland. So Cromwell, kind of an interesting guy, had a tremendous cavalry force. And I'm going to mention this because it's kind of interesting. I had a Catholic friend just the other day mentioned to me, well, why don't you tell people about all of the slaughter of the poor Irish Catholics? They did suffer at the hands of a number of English kings. Of course, a lot of times the French were involved in trying to get the Roman Catholic Irishmen to rebel against England because of the constant friction there. What we had several centuries of France and England vying for power on the European continent there. But anyway, the reason that I don't get into much to that is that that kind of came and went, but the Roman Inquisition lasted for 605 years, and it still exists to this very day. It's in the Palace of Inquisition in Rome, and they've never destroyed the records on how to torture people. And sometime soon we'll be getting to the 1940s, where a modern Inquisition was run in Croatia. But anyway, jumping back to
Ireland, Ireland was one of those kinds of places, folks, that was easy pickings for colonization as well, because the people were very mild folk and easily overrun, and unfortunately they were overrun, and they were overrun often. So there was lots of bloodshed that happened in Ireland as well. Let's just keep right on going. I mean, we can go back and do a whole study on Ireland and its history, because it's fascinating. But let's do continue.
Can I add one interesting point?
Sure.
And that is, St. Patrick was not a Roman Catholic. he was a Celtic Christian, and the first Christianity was a primitive Christianity in Ireland, and the Roman Catholic Church came in kind of historically late in the game, and as they did in most of the area of what we call today Great Britain, and basically forced all the Celtic Christian leaders out and put their own Roman Catholic bishops in their stead, and or killed them. And but St. Patrick, he was just a simple Bible-believing Christian. So it's interesting how they can, after a couple centuries after St. Patrick's dead, all of a sudden the Catholic Church claims that he's their saint.
And the Irish were really instrumental, you know, in keeping records alive. They had quite a setup of monasteries, if you will, retreats where their scribes, you know, illuminated, hand-copied and illuminated a lot of textual material. So much of history at that time period was kept in writing and constant by their hand, and we sometimes overlook that.
Yeah, and it was the Celtic Christians who evangelized Europe.
Yeah, we've got a break right on top of this, folks. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour break with your calls and more. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again. Our call-in number, folks, if you'd like to join in the discussion, is 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You know, Daryl, you bring up Oliver Cromwell, and when you do, I immediately remember my studies, and it was fascinating for me when I was looking at the history of England, Ireland, and Wales. But the idea of Cromwell is quite the character in history. But at that particular time period, they were known as the Roundheads and the Cavaliers. And I couldn't quite understand the Roundheads until I figured out that actually the difference largely visually was that one group cut their hair, cropped their hair, and the other group had the long hair. And the long hairs were the ones that were basically supporting what you might consider conservatism. And the Roundheads were the radicals of their day. The conservatives were the ones that would support the crown and parliament assembled and the established church, and the Cromwellians, the Roundheads, were opposed to that. But there, a whole bunch of stuff came in under Cromwell. I mean, he was a dictator. His son followed that. But the idea of parliament really got strongly rooted at that time period as well. So that in itself could be an interesting and fascinating study.
Right. And his cavalry was feared. I mean, he personally trained a lot of them. When they went out in the field, and people who have spent time like I did 20 years in the military know that often the generals don't sleep out on the ground with you. they're back in some real nice air-conditioned van or something, but they're not out there in the tents usually with you. And Cromwell actually slept on the ground with his troops when they went out. He went out and fought with them, and they loved him. And despite the numerous attempts to assassinate him, he survived them all until eventually they poisoned him to death in 1658. Interestingly, when they couldn't get to him initially on many assassination attempts, they poisoned his daughter with a very, very slow-acting poison, the Jesuits did, and she suffered horribly. It took her weeks to die, and Cromwell was constantly at her side. So it's a shame that that happens, but a lot of times the Jesuits go after entire families, and it's sad because they do have poison seems to be one of their favorite way of killing people. And they've killed several popes with poison, including Pope Clement XIII, who is just getting ready to sign a document suppressing the order the night before they poisoned him to death. He got a quick-acting poison. Pope Clement XIV followed him, and he got the very slow-acting poison. He did suppress the Jesuit order, supposedly forever, and they gave him a very slow-acting poison, and he suffered horribly for many, many weeks. It took him to die from that poisoning. So they have different types of poison that they can administer to you if they want to really, really drag it out and make you suffer.
Well, right in this time period in the 1680s and a little bit earlier than that, we see in France the Huguenots, or different ways of pronouncing it. I'm no good at French either, but the Huguenots are a very important section of history that in some of the textbooks that I have, and folks, I do collect high school and college history textbooks just to see what's been included and what's been overlooked. But or omitted, I guess, the errors of omission and errors of commission. But in this time period, the Huguenots were very instrumental in actually settling the eastern seaboard, the colonies, and even places in South America. Maybe we could talk a little bit about the Edict of Nantes and the Huguenots.
Yeah, the Edict of Nantes was what got, I don't know, there was King Henry, I think it was King Henry III, but I'm not sure. It was either Henry III or Henry IV that had granted the Edict of Nantes, which basically granted religious liberty to all French subjects, both Protestant and Roman Catholic. And of course, the Jesuits never want that. They want an exclusive monopoly for the Roman Catholic Church and its religion in any country. And that was basically how he signed his death warrant. I wish I could remember which one of those it was, but it was either King Henry III or King Henry IV that was murdered.
I can find it, but you go ahead. I'll look.
Yeah, and you mentioned the French Huguenots, and I've been told you don't pronounce the T. It's H-U-G-U-E-N-O-T-S. I've been told that's pronounced the Huguenots. But anyway, they made up a fair sizable portion of France, and that's what the next thing we're going to jump to is 1685. We've got, in that year, French Roman Catholic soldiers butchered about a half million, in other words, approximately 500,000 French Protestant Huguenots on the order of Roman Catholic King Louis XIV of France. I believe he was called the Sun King. Is that right?
That's exactly right, and it was Henry IV, by the way.
Okay, Henry IV that was murdered because he had put out the Edict of Nantes. And, of course, that was revoked later. And King Louis XIV, I'm trying to remember who his Jesuit father confessor was. I think it was Lamermini. I was trying to look that up. But anyway, whoever his Jesuit confessor, father confessor was, Louis didn't want to initially do it because the Protestant French Huguenots, they made up a fair amount of the merchant class, a fair amount of the educated people in the country. And I mean, they were a sizable part of the population. So, you know, as a king or a dictator or whatever, you know, you don't want to go killing off a lot of the productive people in your country. So he was a little bit reluctant to do it, but he had some serious sexual affairs going on, and whoever his father confessor was, his Jesuit father confessor, had whispered in his ear, I think you need to really go after these Huguenots, or maybe the queen needs to hear about all of this and this and this. And that's why the confessional is so dangerous, William. It's not only a great intelligence gathering system, but it's a tremendous means of controlling people. And that's why Jesuits, one of the first things they did, they wanted to be the educators in wherever they were in Europe, And they were the ones that set up the university and that. But the other thing they wanted to be was they always wanted to be the father confessors to kings, queens, the king's mistresses, the top generals, the top bankers. And you can see when you get them telling you their deepest sexual sins and other sins, then it's easy to turn the tables on them on any given day and say, hey, it's time to massacre these people.
Well, it's always good to be able to catalog all of the skeletons in people's closets. But had it not been for this particular time and this particular persecution, one of the encyclopedias that I have here, the Americana, open in front of me, they speak of 50,000 Protestants driven out in 1685 out of France to other countries, and some of them went to the Netherlands, and of course then out of England came the Brownists. They joined up with some of the Huguenots. They came over to North America. They went to Newfoundland. There's a whole very interesting history of the Huguenots in America, South Carolina, places in the West Indies, of course New York. All of these areas along there had settlements, and they would either last for a little while or last for a long time, but generally the French blended in as well as anyone could to the populations that they were living amongst, and some survived the process, some didn't. But there was certainly a lot to understand about them, the persecution that got them on the move, and then once they got here, the great things that they did on this continent.
Yeah, and here's an important point of history to point out, and I don't think I've ever mentioned this before in any broadcast I've been on, and that is how you kind of destroy countries from being great powerhouses by either killing a bunch of your people and or exiling them or forcing them out of the country to flee for their lives. Spain never really recovered from the Spanish Inquisition. I mean, yeah, they suffered a great military loss with the Spanish Armada, but they lost a lot of their, again, driving out a lot. Some people say up to 1 million families were driven out of Spain during the Inquisition, and a lot of the merchant class, a lot of Jews and that, were driven out, Muslims, and then, of course, some Bible-believing Christians. And then the same thing here in France. France was a real powerhouse on the European continent, and I know Napoleon came along later, but think what they would have been had they not murdered so many of these French Protestant Huguenots and driven so and forced so many of them out of the country.
Well, they did have to do a rebirthing, I guess you could say, of their people and repopulate areas. Unfortunately, land is one of those vacuums that just, you know, absolutely cries out to be filled again, and so unfortunately, some people are driven off of land and others come in. And so we have to watch as these populations change, because like in Poland, for instance, in the beginning, the roll-up between World War One and World War II, the population there was like a turnstile, you know. So when one people are pushed out of an area and other people come into the area, and if you're not aware of that and you're reading history, folks, sometimes you don't make that transition, and so you can't understand the changes in government, religions, peoples, populations, customs, tongues, tribes, and creeds. We'll be back right after this break with our very special guest, Daryl Everhart. Stay with us. Back in three.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
And we're back once again, and alert to the listener's memory that, you know, we have talked about the Valdensians, and we've talked about the Albigensians, also sometimes known as the Baudois. You've heard Daryl mention that, but understand, folks, that the Baudois founded the New Paltz in the Wallkill Valley on this continent up around New York. If you want to find out more about it, it's a fascinating study. I've enjoyed it. I've been reading overnight on that this morning, foregoing my usual news gathering process for our Wednesday broadcast here. But nevertheless, there is a society that was founded, the Huguenot Society of America, and I'll just read just a brief paragraph here. It says it's a patriotic society founded in New York City in 1883 for the purpose of perpetuating Huguenot history by collecting relevant documents in libraries, also by public commemoration. The membership is limited to the descendants of the Huguenot families which emigrated from France prior to the Edict of Toleration in 1787, so they're early on in this country, and also to historians and authors who have done important work in Huguenot history. And so also in this reading, I discovered and reawakened my memory that many of the Puritans were Huguenots as well. So there's a lot of American history tied up in this particular group. And I thank you, Daryl, for stirring up my powerful imagination to go back and look at that again.
Hey, while you were on break here, I looked up a couple things here. Fortunately, not only do I have an extensive quotations electronic file, but I've also got some definitions I've made up. And I found, I remember I was saying, I was wondering who that Jesuit advisor was to King Louis XIV. Was it Lamermanian? I'm not sure. Well, let me tell you who it was. It was Pierre Lachaise. But I'll give you both of these guys. Lamermanian was also a Jesuit father confessor. He was the confessor to Ferdinand, too. But both of these guys incited their monarchs to genocide. So let's just cover this guy quickly, because they both fall in this time frame. Pierre Lachaise was born in 1624 and he died in 1709. He became a Jesuit priest and later was the Jesuit father confessor to French King Louis XIV. Lachaise was the one who advised Louis XIV to revoke the 1685 Edict of Nantes that had earlier in 1598 granted religious liberty to all the citizens of France. Lachaise also urged Louis XIV to exterminate as many French Huguenots as possible, thus leading to the slaughter of many thousands of innocent French Protestants. Now here's the definition for William Lamermany. He was a Jesuit priest and one of the father confessors to Ferdinand II, who, by the way, was the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire from 1619 to 1637, during that time of the Thirty Years' War. And there was another Jesuit named, Becan, B-E-C-A-N, had been the father confessor advisor to Emperor Ferdinand II before Jesuit Lamermany took that important position. Both of these Jesuit father confessor advisors, again to the Holy Roman Emperor, constantly urged the emperor to exterminate the Protestants, all of the Protestants within his realm. So indeed, the blame for the carnage of the brutal and bloody Thirty Years' War, which was again 1618 to 1648, and that decimated much of Central Europe, can be laid directly at the feet of the Jesuit order, and specifically these two Jesuit priests. And as German historian Theodore Griesinger stated in 1873, the whole frightful responsibility for this terrible Thirty Years' War must rest upon Emperor Ferdinand II and his teachers, rulers, and bosom friends, the Sons of Loyola. And of course, Ignatius Loyola was the founder of the Jesuit order. So in other words, all of this lay on the Jesuit order. A nasty, nasty little order. So you want to jump into the 18th century here?
Yeah, let's go ahead and move forward.
And we're going to cover a couple of assassinations of popes. So the Jesuits, for I'd say over the last 400 years, and let me just let the listeners know just briefly, the Jesuits were founded by Ignatius de Loyola basically in 1534, officially granted their official status as a Roman Catholic religious order in 1540. But except for a short period there where these Pope Clement XIV did ban them for a while, suppressed them supposedly forever, except for that short period, they have totally controlled the Roman Catholic Church. So we'll jump at 1769 here, and we have Pope Clement XIII, and he gets poisoned to death in this year. As I mentioned earlier, he got the quick poison because the next day he was to sign an order suppressing the Jesuits. See, we had a lot of Roman Catholic monarchs in Europe that were so tired of the seditious activities of the Jesuits, including attempted assassinations on some of these monarchs, that they were really putting a lot of pressure on the papacy to get rid of these guys. So Pope Clement XIII, he was born in 1693 as Carlo della Torre Razonico, and he was pope from 1758 to 1769 when he was murdered. He had received so many complaints about the sinister and nefarious activities of the Jesuit order that he finally felt compelled to take action against it. And he was, again, quickly poisoned to death in 1769 by the Jesuits the night before his scheduled signing of a papal document that would have suppressed the Jesuit order. Well, who was his successor? Pope Clement XIV comes along. And he gets poisoned to death in 1774, and his name was Lorenzo Ganganelli, and he was born in 1705, pope from 1769 to 1774. And again, he got poisoned to death as payback because he did sign a papal bull after dragging his feet for a couple of years in 1773, abolishing, as I said, the Jesuit order forever. He is reported to have stated before he died, "Alas, I knew that they," means the Jesuits, "would poison me, but I did not expect to die in so slow and cruel a manner." So both Clement XIII and Clement XIV, Roman Catholic popes, fell victim to the poison cup again, and I think as you pointed out several times also, one of the three favorite methods of assassination used by the Jesuits, the other two being the point of the dagger and the leaden bullet.
Exactly. And it's an amazement because, you know, you do see these repeating themes. And again, I've used this in the past, folks, but it's, I think, valid to keep it in mind that there are certain traits these various pathos, this pathological type of people have. There are certain traits that if you can understand, you know, it's like a serial killer. If you can follow their traits, then sometimes you can get clues as to who might have been behind that secret hand that the media would just assume that you don't know about. But Lou, let's continue, because I think we're coming into a time period here, which is going to be absolutely rich from a historical standpoint.
And that's the French Revolution. But before we start in the French Revolution, I'd like to give them a definition for Illuminati, since the Illuminati were the ones that got blamed for the French Revolution. And this is a little definition that I've created. It says, the statement is, the modern version of the Illuminati was formed on May 1st, 1776. A lot of people like that day, May 1st, by Jesuit Adam Weishaupt. And it's spelled Weishaupt, who had previously taught Roman Catholic canon law at Jesuit Ingolstadt College in Bavaria, southern Germany. Jesuit Adam Weishaupt pretended to leave the Jesuit order, and I'll talk about sheep dipping here in a second, so that he could set up a Jesuit front group called the Illuminati. The Jesuit front group, the Illuminati, planned, fomented, and orchestrated the bloody French Revolution of 1789 to 1799. By the way, the Rothschild bankers did help them in this. By using this Illuminati front group, the Jesuit order was given a great degree of plausible deniability as to the key role it had played in the French Revolution. And Adam Weishaupt, when I said he was sheep-dipped, he died in the good graces of the church. He never left the church, I mean the Roman Catholic Church. And Adam Weishaupt clearly wasn't the most powerful guy doing all of this. He was taking his orders, no doubt, from one of the generals within the Jesuit order.
Any idea who that may have been at the time?
I don't know whether it was the actual black pope or whether it was one of his provincials. It could have been the provincial that was down there in Bavaria, but clearly Adam Weishaupt and the Rothschilds, who get the blame, and rightfully so, for the French Revolution, having planned it and orchestrated it, fomented it, and bankrolled it through the Rothschilds.
Financing both sides.
Exactly. But the key thing to always remember is that the Rothschilds, although they have a Jewish background, they're clearly Jesuits, and they work for the Jesuits, and they're part of the system, and one of their titles is Guardians of the Vatican Treasury.
Yeah, and I went up and did a Google search on that, folks, and if you want to do that yourselves, you certainly can. We got about 20 seconds, so we're coming into a break. I'll let you know how to get that web search started for yourselves on the other side of our top of the hour break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes and begin hour number two. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Prime Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Prime Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Yeah.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, September the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Visiting this morning with Daryl Everhart again, as we do on our Wednesday studies, of this missing gaps in the bloody history of Papal Rome. Of course, there's lots of missing gaps in history, and to the victor always goes the spoils. But as we're going into the break, the top of the hour break, and if you've missed the first hour or if you're just joining us now, there's going to give out a link, Daryl, so that the audience could do a little web search on that. I have a hard time on thinking that the Rothschilds would be tied up with the Jesuit order, you know, being Jewish, as they all say, the Jewish bankers. So I wanted to find out a little bit more about that. So if you want to do a web search on that, folks, you can just type in Rothschilds, Guardians of the Vatican Treasury. You do that, Rothschilds, Guardians of the Vatican Treasury, and you're going to come up with a whole bunch of independent research, whatnot. Many authors and writers in there. Eric John Phelps, I think, will be on the top of the list, and Jeff Rentz and Tex Marr and many other people are involved in that down below it. But you'll find that most always it goes back and it points at a comment included in the Encyclopedia Judaica. So I think that's the origin of that, and how much more we can find out about it. I think that if we study real carefully and look at Italy, and the rise of the various dictators, including Mussolini, all of that, we might find that the papacy got in trouble somewhere along the line, perhaps, and they may have made the mistake of allowing themselves to be loaned large quantities of money by the Rothschilds, and as they always do, once they loan money to you, you never get free. It's IMF, World Bank, it's all the same. So much to all of that, but I just wanted to throw that out. Please, listeners, always listen carefully to everything you hear, read anything, believe nothing until you can prove it in your own research. But with that as a caveat, M. Thor there, buyer beware. Let us proceed, Daryl. Good stuff.
Yeah. Don't let me forget about sheep dipping. I promised the listeners I was going to tell them about that. But first, I've got F. Tupper Saucy, and he wrote several books, but one of them was called Rulers of Evil, and it specifically deals with the Jesuits. But here's what he says about the Rothschilds. Aware that the Rothschilds are an important Jewish family, I looked them up in the Encyclopedia Judaica and discovered that they bear the title Guardians of the Vatican Treasury. The appointment of Rothschild gave the Black Papacy, he means the hierarchy of the Jesuit order, gave the Black Papacy absolute financial privacy and secrecy. Who would ever search a family of Orthodox Jews for the key to the wealth of the Roman Catholic Church? F. Tupper Saucy, Rulers of Evil, 1999, page 160. Now let me tell them about sheep dipping, because it's a term that if you were in the military, especially during the Vietnam War, you heard about. And sheep dipping is basically, let's give them a classic example, the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, they want to do an operation and they need some special military skills. So let's say they go to the U.S. Army, and they want about maybe 10 Green Berets. And so they'll say, okay, we want these guys, take them off of your records. So technically, they are taken off the military payroll. They're not getting paid by the military. And they go to work for in civilian clothes, maybe go, let's say, to Bangladesh or wherever, somewhere in the Far East. And they do a certain job for the CIA. And maybe they're involved for a year, 2 years. Well, all the time that they're wearing civilian clothes, and the CIA is taking care of them, they're still accruing their time and grade, time and service in the military. So let's just give a general thing. All of these guys had 10 years in the military. So whenever they come back, they've got 12 years even though they were gone for 2 years, they were sheepskins.
Okay, let's pick it up on the other side of this break. We'll continue with that, and maybe we can advance a little bit about P2 masonry. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again on our Wednesday, September the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, beginning our second hour of today's broadcast. We definitely come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Visiting again today with Daryl Eberhart, independent researcher. If you'd like to visit his website, you're certainly welcome to do that. I failed to give it out in the first hour, Daryl, and shame on me for that. It's www.toughissues.org. Again, it's www.toughissues.org. And just like when we visit with Vicki Davis, you know, we only hit the highlights of Daryl's research, and so it really is to your advantage to go back and look at the many writings that he's got on this website so that you can go in and get the quotes for yourself, the source material, the books, the DVDs, and the things that he'll point you towards. And I think that if you'll do it that way, listen, like I say, to everybody, read anything, watch DVDs, but wait until you can prove things out for yourself in your own research before you come to your conclusions. Daryl, Jack Otto passed away last year, I guess. He wrote a book, World War III. I had the opportunity the same week that I interviewed you back in 2005 to receive and read his book. It's World War III by Jack Otto. And on page 24, he includes a quotation from Adam Weishaupt, and it reads this way. He says, quote, the great strength of our order, again, Adam Weishaupt talking about the Illuminati, the great strength of our order lies in its concealment. Let it never appear in any place under its own name, but always covered by another name, another occupation. Now, if we can understand the keys that are in this quotation correctly, I think, we'll have a better confidence in what Daryl's saying, in that Weishaupt was basically a Jesuit front man. The great strength of our order, of course, is the Jesuit order, as he's talking about. And then it says, lies in its concealment, and they always work from behind the screen. Let it never appear in any place under its own name, but always covered by what? Another name and another occupation. This is a vocation. It's a lifelong thing. When you take your vows and join these religious orders, you're in, and you're in for the long haul. You talk about sheep dipping, bringing people in and out of, let's say, Goldman Sachs or other companies to serve as presidents or serve as members of the State Department or in foreign governments or in the International Monetary Fund, etc. This idea of sheep dipping people in and out of various places to affect things, and then they go back after they've done their change agents, and they resume where they were before. So much to all of that. Also, Daryl, you mentioned P2 Masonry. Many of the listeners are interested in the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templar, and the Masons, the P2 Masonry. What do you know, just in brief sketch of the P2? Anything?
Well, I'd rather save P2 till we get to the murder of John Paul I.
Okay.
In 1978, but I'll just basically let the listeners know as a general type thing, and that is that the highest levels of Freemasonry, British, German, and French, were taken over by the Jesuit order. And when you read a lot of the blood oaths of Freemasons, of some of their front groups, like you just mentioned, like the Knights of the Golden Circle, another one of the Jesuit front groups that they set up that helped foment the American Civil War, when you read the blood oaths of these Freemasonic or Masonic type organizations, of the Knights of Columbus and the Jesuits themselves, especially once you get to the fourth degree or above, like say for the Knights of Columbus, but you're going to find they're almost—it's almost like the same guy wrote them all, William. They're almost identical. You know, I'll slit my throat or I'll have my guts ripped out from me if I ever reveal anything. And it's the lower level guys, whether it's Masons or Jesuits, at the first, second, third degree or whatever. Say like for the Masons, they have no idea what's going on at the top, and they're basically just little worker ants, or worker bees. They do the go get the coffee and stuff.
Well, reading Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, you know, I came away from that reading more in line with thinking that he was Jewish, because all of his Kabbalistic and Gematria and all of that stuff in his writings, it's hard to think of him as a Catholic in all of that. How does that line up?
Well, that's a good point, because a lot of people, I just got a DVD mailed to me about 2 weeks ago, that's been done, let me see if I can find it here. I think it's called The Most Holy Family Monastery or something up in, here it is, Most Holy Family Monastery in Fillmore, New York, and it's got two different cuts on it, or selections, and basically they pin communism and Freemasonry on the Jews, that the Jews brought all those two mechanisms into being in order to destroy the Roman Catholic Church.
I'm quite confident that I have that DVD. I think I do, and I have an information packet that I received from them as well. But do go ahead. I know who you're talking about.
Right, and the first one was done by Dr. James Wardner. He's authored a couple books. He's a dentist, and he points out all these Freemasons that are in government, and certainly that's true. But again, he never points out, and he's Roman Catholic, he never points out all of the Knights of Malta that are also all over government, and he never points out the fact that the Jesuit order controls the highest levels of Freemasonry. So that's something to think of. Now, I'll just do this briefly because we're getting a little off topic, but it's an interesting subject because a lot of people wonder, is it the Jews running the New World Order? Is it the papacy running the New World Order? Well, as far as communism goes, the Bolshevik Revolution, Yeah, there were some Jews involved, and five of the six Jews that were on the Politburo were murdered by the real powers running things from behind the scenes, and we need to remember that fact. As Dr. Stan Monteith pointed out in his book, Brotherhood of Darkness, well, if the Jews were really running the Bolshevik Revolution, that's a poor way to reward the Jews that were running it by five of the six Jews in the Politburo who ended up getting murdered. And the other thing to remember about that is that Stalin was Jesuit-trained, who became the dictator of the Soviet Union for many years, and he was trained he was studying to be a priest at a Byzantine rite, and Byzantine rite crosses the borders between both the Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church, Byzantine Rite Seminary, where Jesuits taught. So he was trained by Jesuits, and he was basically installed in power by a Jesuit, and I'm sure you're very familiar with his name, named Walsh,
exactly.
Out of Georgetown University, goes over leading the U.S. mission, relief mission to the Soviet Union, I think somewhere around 1922, and he ends up going over there and basically anointing Stalin. And Stalin, basically works with another prelate named Cardinal Agagianian, Gregory, his last name's Agagianian. And between the two of them, they ran the Gulag system. And who suffered the most during Stalin's reign and that, whenever Stalin and Hitler basically, initially at the beginning of World War II, divided Europe, divided Poland, and both Soviet forces and especially the German forces with their Einsatzgruppen were killing Jews left and right. And, of course, Stalin's guys killed a lot of people don't know this. They went after Baptists and other Protestants and Jews. So Jews did not fare well even during the Bolshevik Revolution, where both the white Russians and the Bolsheviks were killing Jews.
Okay, we'll pick it up right on the other side of the very interesting topic, folks. Toughissues.org. Visit Daryl's website. We'll be back in three.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local, visiting with our special guest, Daryl Everhart, independent researcher. You can visit his website, toughissues.org, and our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. If you'd like to weigh in on this morning's discussion, you're certainly welcome to call in. But another little interesting sidebar in this, you know, I've studied Joachim Hoffman's Stalin's Bloody War of Extermination. But one of the other things that Stalin did, not to, we'll go back to the French Revolution here, but one of the other things that I found very interesting, I'm one of the early people on at least shortwave and internet radio talking about it. Some like to just completely ignore it. But there is a place, folks, that Stalin set up. It's called the Jewish Autonomous Region, the JAR. It's also known as the Jewish Autonomous Oblast. It's on the northern shores of the Amur River, which comes out of the Pacific Ocean into the Amur River forms the northern boundary of China, between China, Mongolia, and the southern boundaries of the U.S. what former USSR. But over there, there's this little place. It's called the JAR, the Jewish Autonomous Region, and sometimes it's the Jewish Autonomous Oblast. Birobidzhan is the capital. The country is not named Birobidzhan, but it is the capital. And if you do a Google study on that, or web ferret, or Scroogle, or whatever browser you like to visit with, find out a little bit more about it. You'll find it has a rather interesting history. But yeah, if the idea there, or if the intent was to exterminate all of the Jews out of Russia, then it would be curious as to why he would set up a special place to park the Jews during the time that the nation of Israel was rising for the Zionists. So all of this stuff is all convoluted, and if you don't go through and comb it out very carefully, it's hard to get an idea. But let's go back, because, again, the Rothschilds figure in this time period, a guy named Claude Henry Duruy St. Simon, who fought alongside George Washington at Yorktown, comes in. We have the beginning of French socialism with the Saint Simonians. Lots of very interesting things are happening around the French Revolution in that time of revolution and counter-revolution. Daryl?
Yeah, and maybe we can pick that up at the half-hour break. I just wanted to tell the listeners, on my website, two things that deal with genocide. I've got two articles up there. One's called Bloody Hands. The other's called Death by Government. If they want to read a little bit about genocide throughout the centuries, those would be the two articles I would recommend that they would read. And when I sort of, you brought up an interesting point about setting up a little homeland for the Jews there. A lot of times in history, whenever the Jews have been herded into a different, a small area like a Warsaw ghetto, or in Rome they had a ghetto for Jews at one time, whenever they're herded into any place, that is a good way to, when you want to get ready to exterminate people, to have them as much as possible squeezed into a certain geographical location. I didn't want to give the idea that Stalin necessarily wanted to kill a bunch of Jews. What they did was, when Hitler and Stalin sort of divided up Poland, and then whenever the fighting started, these guys actually at the highest levels, the intelligence agencies, were cooperating together. So the Nazi, or the Wehrmacht, went into Ukraine and other parts of the Soviet Union, and they were killing a lot of Jews left and right. So Stalin allowed them to do that. You may say, well, why? How are they allowing? Well, at the top levels, they worked together, and they let the armies kill each other, and in the process, they kill a lot of their enemies in between. And, of course, Stalin's killing his enemies then whenever they go back. So the armies are going back and forth, and in the process, William, they're killing a lot of their enemies, whether, you know, it would be Protestant leaders like in the Soviet Union, and of course the Jewish problem is being taken care of by the Einsatzgruppen and as they come into the Ukraine and other areas, which, by the way, they massacred them on the spot. A lot of the Einsatzgruppen just shot, you know, people in the back of the head and stuff, pushed them into quickly dug graves and stuff. So there's a lot of times when you have a conflict, the top levels, again, they're working together to kill their own enemies in the process. And then when it's all done, the bankers step in and do the rebuilding process like happened after World War II. And not only do they finance both sides during the war, but then they jump in and make the money from reconstruction.
Well, so war is a big profit-making machine, folks, and that's an absolute fact. And if you can finance both sides of the wars, you know, it's like I like to say that they do the same thing over and over again throughout history. This Archons, the Archus, the leader group, they do this throughout history. But basically, if you can get people to fight amongst each other, and I want to come back to a comment I have in my mind, but if you can get people to fight amongst each other, then it really relieves a lot of the cost and the expense of achieving your geopolitical aims. Go ahead and cause divisions and rifts between people. And as Daryl's pointed out, you know, there's nothing that's more powerful than when you can get into somebody's belief basket and pit one belief system against another belief system. It's great for revolution and counter-revolution, no doubt about it. The Ukrainian people, there's websites up there that you can go in and look at of the starvation, the mass starvations in the Ukraine. But going back over and looking at French Revolution, one of the things that was going on there that's a real a head twister, if you want to think that the Catholic Church was behind the French Revolution, if you will, is this great dispossession, if we can, of all of the lands of the church and the minor or the lesser nobility, when it was no longer going to be a kings and queens driven system. The lesser nobility found themselves with nothing to do. That's how Henry St. Simon found himself in the military. And so they would sign up for military orders and go off and fight wars and do things, explorations, settlements and things. But they found themselves with nothing to do. But at the outset, they turned around and bought up a lot of this vacated church lands, too. So we come into a very interesting time period, Daryl, and I'll just let you throw out anything you want about the French Revolution, and then we can move forward through that from that.
Right. Well, let me give them the definition for P2 Masonry, and that's all I want to say about P2 Masonry until we get to the murder of John Paul I.
Okay.
And John Daniel has a very good, since you said there's interest in that, John Daniel in his book The Grand Design Exposed says, there is a Masonic propaganda group, number two, known as the P2 Club, with its headquarters being in Rome. The P2 Club is a propaganda society of the world's elite, which includes high-ranking Roman Catholic prelates and, of course, Jesuits. So do we have a couple minutes before the break?
We have 2 minutes exactly.
Okay, well, let's just finish up then on the missing gaps there on the bloody French Revolution, because I've got a great quote here by John Daniel. He says, without exception, every chief actor in the French Revolution was either Jesuit-educated, a Catholic prelate, or a member of the Illuminati Order, and again, that's my comment, it's a Jesuit front organization, where within the Jacobin Club, they would come together to conspire and carry out the great work, which in the open system of the Jacobins was the reflection of the complete hidden system of the Illuminati, and in back of the Illuminati were the hidden Jesuit masters. Most, and he means the leaders of the French Revolution, had been educated and trained under Jesuit tutelage. I won't give you all the names there. They were all inspired Jesuit college students while rallying behind their instructors' enlightenment cause. No wonder there was no true opposition to the movement from the Jesuit camp. Remember well, the French Revolution is nothing less than a prototype of what the whole world is soon to be plunged into. And that's the end of his quote, and we should be coming up on the break here.
We are, and the Jacobins themselves, Jacobin, Jacob, always the J as a Y in that time period, the Jacobins make a very, very interesting study in the little funny hat that they would wear. You know, they will find that covering the point of the Spear of Destiny in the state seal of Virginia and many other places. You'll see this little Jacobin cap on the heads of the voyageurs, the French voyageurs, as they're out settling and working for the fur companies. a very interesting symbol for those that are interested in the symbology of it all. But the Jacobins are themselves a very interesting study. We'll pick it all up right after the bottom of the hour break, right here on Become Vocal Local, and your calls are welcome.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. Again, that call-in number is 866-841-1065. And folks, if you've ever been out hunting and you've cornered an animal someplace, a coyote or whatever, mountain lion, get them in a corner, they're more ferocious than at any other time because they know that they're looking at a fight-or-flight deal here. They're either going to have to defeat you or they're going to perish, and that's the way their brain is working. And so people fight just the same way when we're cornered. And as the French Revolution continued to glorious revolution, all the revolutions in England continued, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, the papacy, if you will, old papa there, the guy with the fish hat, they started losing more and more ground. And so going back and understanding this quote from Adam Weishaupt, we can understand how important it would be for them to always cover their own orders in concealment, covering it up always by another name and another occupation. You might give ground on this point, convert out of this name, but then gain ground in another. And at this time period, forward in history, Daryl, from my own research, the influx into the colonies, influx into the United States and the westward expansion, the numbers of Catholics in this country began to grow exponentially, and great numbers of Jews started coming as well. So we can see out of all of Europe, and Western Europe and Eastern Europe, Jews and Catholics started to flood into this once Protestant country. But let's pick it up there, any place you want to go with that.
Right, and let's get back just for a minute to the cap. You were talking about the Jacobins wore a certain style cap.
Yes.
Didn't it look like a Santa Claus cap?
In a way, it's more like an elf's cap, really. But
it's yeah.
The Santa Claus cap, it would have the snowball and all that on up flipped up.
Oh, understood, yeah. But yeah, sort of like an elf hat. And do you remember what that was called? Was it called a Phrygian cap?
A Phrygian cap, absolutely correct. Good memory.
And you know where that came from? That came all the way back to the worship of the sun god, Mithra.
Exactly.
And I'm looking at a picture of Mithra slaying the bull, and he's wearing his little elf cap there.
Exactly. Thank you. Absolutely correct. And it is that old, folks.
And it became the religion of many of the soldiers of the Roman emperors, for the Roman army, and they pulled that, and it came out of Persia, basically.
Well, there was so much of a blending, and we covered that in the beginning.
Right.
In my broadcast, we covered all of the Oriental despotisms right up to the time of the dispersal when Christianity started making its way westward venture. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's an important time period. All of these symbols, folks, that's why we pay attention to symbols, because if you get in there and dig around, you'll find that they have ancient roots, the Phrygian cap.
Right. Well, we're going to jump into the 19th century, and our American listeners are probably going to like this part more because it ties a lot much more into America, because obviously when we're talking around the 1600s and the 1500s, America really, as the United States of America, did not exist. So let's start out with 1814 to 1815, and we have an interesting little event taking place. It's called the Congress of Vienna, and they're meeting during this period of 1814 to 1815. Basically what you had despotic European monarchs, these guys basically running dictatorships in their countries, and at the urging of the papacy, they get together to counter popular representative government, because it had what they saw in America really scared them, because they wanted to counter religious liberty and freedom, religious liberty and freedom of conscience and speech, wherever those ideas might raise their heads, because they looked over here into America, and they saw freedom of speech, religious liberty, they saw those as viruses.
Well, you
like
can
diseases.
Imagine how powerful these viruses were. That's why I like to start the broadcast off every day, folks, when I say this is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. This was like this was such a potent thing, the development of philosophical radicalism, where it challenged all of these old traditions, all of this hanging on, all of the despotism of these various monarchs and their church, you know. And you're absolutely right, it put the fear of God in them. And they knew that they had to come together to do battle against not only this system, but also to keep it from spreading in their own countries. Because once people get a taste of freedom, it's like you lay the reins of a horse across its neck. Once they get a sense of that, then they're on their own, and they are very difficult to control after that. But go ahead.
So basically, Papal Rome and these despotic monarchs, and most of them were Roman Catholic. Initially, they got the Tsar of Russia into this alliance against popular representative government and all the liberties and freedoms we Americans cherish, but he backed out later. But anyway, the American Constitutional Republic became the number one target for destruction. And where do we hear that in any of our encyclopedias or history textbooks, that here we have despotic European monarchs, mostly Roman Catholic, with the blessing of the papacy and the urging of the papacy and the Jesuit order getting together and planning the destruction of the United States of America. And, of course, the fruit that we saw from that, one of the first fruits was the American Civil War. But that was just round one of these meetings. In 1822, we get round two. And basically, it's sort of like Congress of Vienna number two, but it's held in Verona, Italy. Takes place in 1822. It's the follow-up of of the earlier Congress of Vienna of 1814-15. And again, the American Constitutional Republic remains target number one for destruction, and basically what they're doing is they're ratifying and sort of fine-tuning what they did in the first Congress. But there's a third meeting taking place.
Just a moment, because that treaty is absolutely critical. And again, folks, let's utilize the Internet. Now, for those of you out there who happen to have a copy of William Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse, you'll find a reproduction of the Verona Treaty in that book. But for those who haven't got Bill Cooper's book, you can go up on the Internet and type in the Verona Treaty and see if you can't bring up a copy for your own perusal. And in there, you'll see that these monarchs were thanking the papacy for their cover, if you will, and their support of their agenda. So it's a very interesting relationship, and it's laid out in black and white in letters that you can read and burn into your memory to verify what Daryl is telling us.
Let me give them a couple quotes here. I jumped over to my 400 pages worth of quotes here. And it's by Bill Hughes in The Secret Terrorist. He says, during this Congress, he means Verona in Italy, 1822, it was decided that America would be the target of Jesuit emissaries and that America was to be destroyed at all costs. Every principle of the U.S. Constitution was to be dissolved and new Jesuitical principles were to be put into place in order to exalt the papacy to dominion in America. Page 14, The Secret Terrorist. Another, from page 15 of The Secret Terrorist, he tells us about the three meetings here, and I'm going to get back to Cherie, which I didn't get to. He says, these three meetings at Vienna, Austria, Verona, Italy, and Cherie, Italy, that one was in 1825, were held with as much secrecy as possible. However, one man attended the first two meetings that would not be silenced. British Foreign Minister George Canning contacted the U.S. government to warn them that the monarchs of Europe, and again, this is my comment with the encouragement and support of the papacy and the Jesuits, were planning to destroy the free institutions of America. Again, you would think that would be kind of important information for the American people to know about, and it's nowhere to be found in our American history textbooks or in our encyclopedias.
And then when you study Channing in the encyclopedias, you'll find, I have found, not even the Britannica, the Americana, the Funk and Wagnalls, the World Book, the Universal Reference, and so on that I have in my library, you won't find any confirmation of that in the encyclopedias either.
Hey, here's another little comment from Bill Hughes, page 53 of his book, The Secret Terrorist. He says, the Roman Catholic Church sowed the seed of division between the two great sections of this country, dividing north from south on the burning question of slavery. So their idea was to destroy this, the Constitutional Republic, and to replace it with two separate nations. And when we get to the Civil War, we'll talk a lot more about that. But let's just go back here. The third meeting was in 1825. Remember, your first one is the Congress of Vienna, 1814-1815. The second one's at Verona, Italy, 1822. Well, here's the third set of meetings. But this one is attended only by high-level Jesuits. And they're meeting in Cherie, Italy in 1825 to super fine-tune the plans that were made earlier at the Congress of Vienna and the secret meetings of Verona, Italy. And again, one of the fruits of these three sets of meetings was the American Civil War of 1861 to 1865. Here's what President Abraham Lincoln stated, and again, we'll cover this when we get in much more depth when we get to the American Civil War. But here's what Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States, said. This war, and he's talking about the American Civil War, would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of her noblest sons.
Well, he's quite a piece of work, too, and I'm no fan of his, but he definitely had, I believe, had it very accurately stated in that. There's no doubt about it. Folks, we're going to go into a break here in a moment, and when we come back, we'll start our last segment of today's broadcast with Daryl Eberhart, your calls, and much more. Be back in three.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse.
Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we've returned once again, and Daryl, we're moving into the most one of the most fascinating time periods. We're right smack, folks, off in the Industrial Revolution, if you will. That term, industriel, was coined by a man named Claude Henri du Rouvroy, Saint-Simon. The Saint-Simonians got involved and embroiled in a tooth-and-nail battle with the Rothschilds over the French credit mobilier at the time. We've got Karl Mordecai Marx writing with Engels. They're coming up with their system. All of the various socialist internationals are coming along. The Communist Manifesto is about to be revealed. Auguste Comte, the disciple, if you will, of Henry St. Simon, has broken away and is forming his system of positive philosophy and positive polity and his catechism of the universal religion of humanity. We've got the abolitionists going full tilt. We've got the temperance groups forming in England, coming to the United States. We've got the universal suffrage and manhood suffrage coming. We've got people. Everybody is really we're caught in the crosshairs of history right here. So much is happening. The Owenites, Newell and Arc, the beginning of these collectivist industrial communities that then would come to the United States in Oneida, New Harmony, and other places. So much of this was happening right at this time period that it would be for a world leader at the time like walking on eggshells, so much different, so many things coming on and at them that they had no ability really to deal with other than just doing the very best they could to stay up with it, much as we find ourselves today with this rapidly expanding IT technology that's sewing the whole world together in a seamless web, interconnected and interoperable, which makes the door wide open for those who would control us and bring us into a new world order. But back to the importance of what was happening in Russia, maybe we could start with there, 1825 or thereabouts, Tsar Alexander.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one. Before we do that, and we'll probably only have time to hit Tsar Alexander here to finish up today, but I just wanted to let the listeners know, since, you know, you're nice enough to have me on, and one of your people that are sponsoring you is Trine Day. I do have Dr. Mary Monkey's book. It's a great little book, and if you want to put the tie-in with Lee Harvey Oswald, there's a lot about him in the book. So the people that like JFK assassination material, this would be a great book for them to get. And Tsar Alexander, one's interesting from the standpoint, he was, we said you had the 1825, we had the Jesuits meeting in Cher, Italy. Well, this is the year that Tsar Alexander I is assassinated by the Jesuits. He's poisoned to death in 1825. And so many times in history, you know, they may tell us that such and such a president died when he was actually murdered or something. Or if they admit that he's murdered or assassinated, they often don't tell us the reasons why. And that's why I included this one here, because here's another man that fell to the Jesuits, and they had a couple reasons for killing him. Well, Tsar Alexander I was born in 1777. He ruled as Tsar of Russia from 1801 to 1825 when he was murdered. And here's the number one reason why they killed him, and this will always get you killed pretty much. He had expelled the Jesuit order from all of Russia in 1822. He had also earlier expelled the Jesuits before he from all of Russia, from Moscow and St. Petersburg in 1816. So for these crimes against the Jesuits, and because Tsar Alexander I had been tolerant of all religious sects in Russia, remember that's what got King Henry IV killed, the Edict of Nantes. Well, he was hated by the Jesuits. And there's another reason why the Jesuits hated Tsar Alexander I, and author E.H. Broadbent, and they can do a Google search for his book, The Pilgrim Church. Be very careful, because there's a Roman Catholic author has a title by the same. Let me give them the full title. It's called The Pilgrim Church, Tracing the Pathway of the Forgotten Saints from Pentecost to the 20th Century. Just make sure when you do your Google search for The Pilgrim Church, you get the one by E.H. Broadbent. It'll tell you a lot about the Albigenses, the Waldenses, the Vaudois, the Paulicians, a lot of the early history of the church, and also a lot of what was going on with Christianity in Russia and that. So here's what he says in his book, The Pilgrim Church. He tells us that in 1812, Tsar Alexander I had encouraged the establishment of the British and Foreign Bible Society in Russia, giving it special privileges. Broadbent then goes on to tell us that Tsar Alexander I had told visitors to St. Petersburg that he had never seen a Bible until he was 40 years of age, but when at that time he was directed to it, he devoured it. The Jesuits eventually succeeded in murdering him because he wanted to get God's holy word, the Bible, into the hands of the Russian people in their native Russian language, something the Jesuits never want and have always fought this relentless battle against the true Bible.
Well, it's an amazing story, and there's so much in this particular time period too. I think if my memory serves me right, Alexander the First, there was he was kind of like a porridge eater. He was a very simple person, and no one likes to have somebody that thinks of their people. Certainly, there's much that we could go into. My memory of his life is not that exhaustive by any means, but at this particular time, again, you know, you said it so well back in the beginning when we were looking at the church as being a geopolitical and theological organization. I mean, when you think of Catholic, if you look in the dictionary, folks, it's universal, and so it has a global. It was the Romans were the head, if you will, of the then known civilized world and juris civilis, you know, civilization, civilized. Civilian, all of those words come from that. They were the head of the New World Order in their time. They'd like to have that continue, and certainly Russia figures into this very much so, in that it's an enormous area loaded with natural resources, and it's a plum for anybody who can steer it.
Yeah, and you brought up some points there that are interesting, and that is that basically the Roman Catholic Church, we again need to think of it not as just a church. It's not just the building you see in your local town. A lot of towns have Catholic churches with a steeple and a cross on top. It's a geopolitical, financial, religious entity that always makes the advancement of its political agenda number one order. And sometimes the financial end is right up there with it. But the religious end of it is, as some people say, it's mainly a front to make them think, well, it's just a charitable religion. Sort of like the Shriners in Freemasonry, you know, oh, the burn hospitals, that's what they're all about.
Or the Crystal Cathedral or Tim LaHaye,
yes,
and their bunch, you know. And I mean, there's, if you can get inside of somebody's mind and start working with their faith, and if you can drive them based on faith, you've really got a strong hold on that person. And it's just a sin and a shame, in my opinion, Daryl, researched and lifelong opinion held, that when a person finds themselves, they realize that maybe they've gone astray in their life, they regret some of their actions, their courses, and because we've grown up with the Bible in our midst, if you will, they turn to that and they say, well, maybe I've missed it. You know, up to this point, it's been my will. Maybe by thy will be done would be a better way. And then they find their way up to the altar of some church and they're all repentant. You know, they're ready to give themselves over to the Lord, so to speak. And they get down on their knees, you know, and do whatever is necessary, confess their sins. And unfortunately, they walked from the frying pan right into the fire, because most of these organized churches out there, folks, are about 180 degrees out of anything you might find in the New Testament that would testify of Christianity.
And someone might say that they're walking right into the hands of a religious shyster that wants to get into the back part of their pants there where the wallet goes.
Exactly.
And to fleece the sheep. And boy, that's certainly not just limited to the Roman Catholics with indulgences and mass cards for the dead. But a lot of these tele-evangelists and that, let me send you a handkerchief with a prayer for $100, your love gift of $100. And they take advantage of people. They prey on people. And my best advice to people is to have home churches.
There you go. And it really goes all across the bounds. I mean, any of the various and sundry, I think there are 7 primary religions on the planet today. But any of them, they use the same trick. It's this gatekeeping priest class, if you will. And folks, it's not something that you can step out in your own yard. You can look around at nature and the creation, the beautiful creation that we've been blessed to be part of. And if you can find an instruction manual in the grass, please bring it and show it to me. The real instruction manual is what has been wrought, and understanding and getting humble and realizing that when you're in your house with all of your little electronic toys, yeah, you're kind of powerful. But when you get out into the great wide world, that the universe that was created for our blessing and our benefit, we become humble in that and understand that we're a bit actor in a great play, and it's all been rolled out for us to experience. And just humble yourself in that and realize that most of these churches, like Daryl says, they're after your pocket, and unfortunately, they're also after your heart, your soul, your mind, your body. Well, Daryl, we're all out of time for today. It's always a pleasure. Look forward to coming back together with you again next Wednesday. And folks, have a great day today, and we'll be back again tomorrow with Vicki Davis. Till then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.